You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel M, and I'm here together with Todd Atkins.
What?
So, I don't know if everyone is aware of this, but obviously this is audio. I mean, obviously everyone's aware of that. But over audio, do you know that you can tell if someone's smiling or not when they're talking?
Really?
Yeah.
Am I smiling right now?
Yeah, because it comes through your intonation. So that's why every episode...
Am I smiling right now?
I am on antibiotics right now. Right?
Is that all?
I'm trying to get excited about this, and I can tell...
This is a fellowship of excitement.
Yeah, I can tell. So I tried to smile during that intro, but I am on antibiotics, and you know I'm trying to get through this. Tomorrow's the weekend.
Yes.
So I'll be able to sleep, but I'm preaching on Sunday.
Yesterday it was 78, and tomorrow it could snow.
Yes.
Welcome to Tennessee.
Yes, that is insane.
Wait but 5 minutes. If you don't like the weather, it'll change.
Yeah. So today we have a review from R.S. Talmud. R.S. Talmud, who gave us 5 stars. So thanks again, R.S. Talmud, and everyone else who has left us a review.
What do you think his name is?
Maybe he likes the Talmud.
Yes.
Right. Maybe he's like an OT, Hebrew, Hebraic, Israel studies.
Yeah.
Junkie there.
Yeah.
Or what?
His name could be Robert Stedford Talmud.
Oh, yeah.
The third.
Yeah, I guess so. He did give us helpful insights. 5 stars. That was the name of his review. Helpful insights. 5 stars. And he said, in listening, it has brought greater self-awareness to my undeveloped leadership abilities and made me realize I need to rely fully in God every day to be who he wants me to become. Be mentored by leadership's best and listen.
Wow.
That was really generous. I mean, I was like, who are you talking about? Because I don't really feel like that. But thank you, R.S. Talmud, for that generous review. And if you have not yet left us a review on iTunes, anyone else, be sure to do that because we do these swag giveaways and it does help other people discover us. But R.S. Talmud, thank you. So send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or hit me up on Twitter @DanielSanghi. And we will actually not just give you a New Churches Moleskine notebook and pen, but we will give you a Bluetooth speaker as well.
$80. For everyone that didn't understand that, if you spell that like Sanghi, then you're good to go.
DanielSanghi. Yeah, Sanghi is my Korean name. It's not my last name.
Right.
M is my last name. That's why I don't say I'm Daniel. I say my name is Daniel because it does get a little bit confusing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm Daniel.
Yes. Thank you, Todd. First time I've ever heard that. So let's listen to the question in from Jose.
I am that I am. That's kind of like biblical and stuff.
Hi, my name is Jose. I'm one of the Connections pastors at Stone Point Church in Wells Point, Texas. Our church meets in 2 locations. At the satellite campus, the message is delivered via video. Because of this, the campus pastor has very limited time on stage, basically a brief welcome of about 2 minutes. We're thinking on slightly modifying the closing portion of the sermons so that the campus pastor can deliver the closing portion himself. Can you think of any examples or even churches currently doing something like this? Or maybe even other ways to make the campus pastor more, quote unquote, visible? Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, this is a great question, very tactical, that a lot of churches doing multi-site need to be aware of, right? And we do address this a little bit more in our campus pastor course, newchurches.com/campus pastor. And I've also written an article on it called Campus Pastor Skill on how to close a service. And the first line that I say is campus pastors are not highly paid MCs or volunteer coordinators.
Boom! That's gold, Dave.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it.
Okay. So I would further, basically, it's not just the outro. You've got an opportunity during an intro. Like you can actually start the service.
Yep.
A lot of times in a multi-site setting, there is a delay on the feed, on the video feed, in case something happens or whatever. I know we always had a 3-minute delay. So that gave the campus pastor an opportunity, as long as he was fairly adept, to be able to pray before, just before the video came up. And so, you know, I am a person who has always hated prayer as a transition.
I love prayer as a transition.
But at the same time, it's sometimes a necessary evil, especially...
It's not a necessary evil.
If it's a necessary...
That's not the right phrase, man.
That's not right. But yes.
But I'm not going to edit this out because it's funny.
I know you're not going to edit it. Whatever.
I get it.
It's a necessary part.
Yes.
Especially if you're going to drop a screen in between your worship.
Well, we all know when prayer happens in a service is because transition's happening. We know that's why.
Not always. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. But a lot of times if you keep your eyes open when someone's praying.
You keep your eyes open?
All right. Hey, so this is one thing that I've noticed, all right? It's interesting how an individual's perception is formed, right? So if you are the lead pastor, if you're the preacher and you're there every week or most of the time, if you get up and do an announcement, right? Or you get up and say something that's not really scripted or not really prepared and you're umming or you forget something or you kind of stumble over your words, mostly everyone's going to forgive you. And no one's really going to think that much of it because they know that you're the preacher. They know how you communicate through the preaching.
Yeah.
Now, the fascinating thing that I've noticed is for campus pastors that don't preach on a regular basis, if the campus pastor is stumbling and mumbling at the beginning or during the announcements or after, the perception is like, number one, it's you need to break the perception that, hey, you do more than just announcements, right? Yeah. That's the number one perception. But
are
that's
you full-time?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, like, for everyone sitting there, they're like, what did you do your entire week to not be prepared for a two-minute announcement? Like, how are you going to mess up? You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's the perception we get.
You have one job.
Yeah, you have one job, and you don't need notes. You know, just do it. Right? So, I mean, but that's the fascinating thing about perception, right? And if you are not the campus pastor, and you're just a staff member going up and doing announcements, and you're there, you're just doing that once in a while, I mean, you could you shouldn't, but you could people will forgive you. But if you're the campus pastor, and that's not being delivered well in the announcements and or in the closing service, and it's not polished in that way, then that's the perception. What's going to happen is they're going to begin to lose trust. And maybe you're loved and you've been there for 10 years and you have relationships with everyone. There's 100 people. That's a different case. But most situations, you do need to be prepared.
Exactly. So I would say other ways that you appear to be the campus pastor is actually pastor the people.
Oh, totally. So, and that'll give people... So if you do and awe, and this is where I've seen great campus pastors that are pastoring, that are there, they can and awe, and everyone's just like, oh, I love you. I mean, I don't...
But they better see you outside of announcements.
Yeah.
You better show up to their kid's game, or you better show up to the hospital, or you better do something with the hours that you're not preparing a sermon to minister to the people. One of the best leadership lessons I've ever received was from my dad, and there probably somebody that listens to this podcast that actually knows my dad and people involved in this, so I probably shouldn't go too much into it. But there was a family that didn't like my dad in our church, and I don't know how old I was a teenager, and they didn't like him that much. And something happened, a tragedy happened in their family. And I won't tell you what that tragedy was, because you could do math if you know it. But a tragedy happened. And then he showed me, it was like 2 months later, my dad took care of it very well and ministered to the family very well. And he pulled me aside after they had gone through, because, you know, at a small country church, the pastor waits in the back and shakes everybody's hand, and he hears the grade on his sermon whatever.
Even if you're not a country church, I mean, the pastor shouldn't be in his study after he preaches the message. I mean, you got to be out there.
You got to be out there.
Yeah.
And so he said, hey, I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I haven't made a horrible decision. I haven't done something that, you know, that came up in a business meeting. I haven't preached a bad sermon since I minister to this family in this way.
That's good. That's good.
I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Really good.
And seriously, like, if you look at the life of that church, my dad's now been there, I don't know, 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
Relational capital
is huge.
Relational capital to build is huge.
That. Right. So one practical thing that any campus pastor should be doing, whether it's live preaching, which is the case at the church that I'm a teaching pastor at, I preach live both campuses, but our campus pastors are the ones that close out, do the announcements and do all that. So, or if you're doing video and the campus pastor is closing out or doing the announcements there, one practical thing that any and every campus pastor should be doing is that they should be the one closing out the service. The senior pastor or the teaching pastor shouldn't be the one that closes the service, right? You may want to do like a follow-up worship song after you finish preaching, but the campus pastor needs to close out the service because the campus pastor, that is the opportunity for you to personalize the message for your campus. Now, this may take 1 minute. It may take two. It could even be you just sharing, hey, this is how the message personally impacted me, and I want to pray this over us, right? And there's that contextual, there's that shepherding, or it's the campus pastor being like, man, so let me pray this psalm over us as we go out and be the church. Or you just contextualize in some way. But if the campus pastor comes up after the preacher and just goes up and continues announcements and says, hey, don't forget about this. And there are some times where you need to share those announcements, or hey, remember in the student room, this or newcomers need to do this. That's fine if you need to repeat that at the end of the service, but do not end that way. End by being pastoral, because that's how you're going to be able to build that trust, and you're going to be seen not just as the glorified MC, but as the pastor of that campus.
Well, and you can use the announcement time to highlight other staff at the campus and that kind of thing.
That's good.
If you can insert yourself from a pastoral perspective, especially if you're not any good at announcements, get someone who is.
Yes.
Or if you're in a context where, and I'm going to open up a can of worms, Daniel. Is that what a can of worms sounds like?
I don't know.
Or is it vacuum sealed? Because worms need air. Okay. Anyway, so if you're in a context where you're like, oh, I need to have a female somehow up on stage, mm-hmm. you know, that's also a great place to do that, to get them doing announcements. And you can focus on, you know, pastoral section or whatever. So the interesting thing for me was I was always looking as that was an opportunity for me for leadership development. So, you know, I would have different people doing announcements that I was wanting to elevate in the minds of our people. And I didn't put people up there that couldn't do announcements well. I did people that would you put people up there that would excel at that, because often I didn't. Often I would get into a preaching tangent on one of our announcements. Hmm. And you do want to preach the announcements, but anyway.
Can we have the organ playing when the announcements are happening? Hey, so before we end off, Todd was talking about how he saw that. You're waiting for me to talk so you can do that, right? So Todd was talking about how he did that as a leadership development opportunity. And as you know, both Todd and I serve on the Lifeway leadership team. And we have our leadership pipeline coaching regionals that are upcoming.
Oh,
so I just wanted to do a quick shout before we end off the podcast, because we've been at Saddleback. By the time of the airing, we would have been at Dallas. This week is Charlotte. We're going to be in D.C. next month, Phoenix in June. And then our big conference is in Nashville. So go to myleadershippipeline.com, because we would love to see you in person.
Yeah.
And it's been neat. In the previous regionals, a lot of our podcast listeners have come up and like, hey, it's so great to hang out and eat lunch together and all that stuff. And
awesome when somebody comes up and just doesn't introduce themselves. They just scream, what?
Yeah, so be sure to check out myleadershippipeline.com to learn more about our pipeline coaching. We will check you out next time.